Mark, if you will, and we'll go on this afternoon. Again, thank you for being here. Enjoy having all of you, young people, and all of you. Now, the good news is some of you go out to eat at a restaurant after, which my wife and I have also gone with some of you. But half the time, we don't get out of the restaurant till after 2 o'clock. So today, look at that. You already had fellowship. You had lunch. We're going to have a service, and you'll be out of here by 2 o'clock. So that'll be great. Some of you don't believe that. But I made up my mind. I've got 25 minutes, so we're going to try to make good use of it. Thank you for, again, being here. And if you have Bibles or whatever you happen to be using to look at the passage, we're in chapter 2 again. And we're going to be going to verse 40. Again, we've talked about already, if you stop and think about it, the Lord Jesus healed the man in chapter 1 so far with a withered hand. And then also we find he healed the man with with demon possession and cast the demon out of him. And then we know that he healed Peter's mother-in-law. If you notice each of those people, how many of you would say if you were a high-priority physician, that's who you'd be going to? Those, obviously, that can't what? Can't pay. And those that are not the most important people in the world. Now, I didn't say it this morning because I was afraid I'd make somebody mad. But sadly, in Bible times, and if people weren't believers, or even if they were some of the Jewish-type believers, women weren't a real high priority. The men were always considered high priority, and the women weren't considered high on the list. Now, the wonderful news of Christianity is that immediately it brings a whole different picture to things. Men and women are equal before God as far as their place before God, aren't they? And through Jesus Christ, it says whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're bond, in other words, a servant, or whether you're free, whether you're Greek or whether you're Hebrew, no matter who you are, everybody's equal because we all have to come to God the same way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we men know who are Christians that the wives are to be the queen of our homes, aren't they? Okay, we men who are Christians. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, good, good. And, you know, and the wives respect their husbands. In other words, you honor him, love him, respect him. That's what God gives us as direction that's there. But we praise the Lord for that. But even for the Lord Jesus to stop for a moment, see the Pharisees and the scribes, they would have heard about Peter's mother-in-law, and that wouldn't have been a high priority to them. But you find here, as he comes into the home immediately, she's important because she is one of God's creation, but also because she has a soul, and the Lord Jesus was equally worried about, equally concerned with women coming to Christ as much as he was men coming to Christ, and so he reached them. Well, then we step even a step further as we go along. Again, we saw those that were demon-possessed. Again, society wouldn't have wanted much to do with those. And then we see those that are ill with different kinds of illnesses. And you remember when the Lord Jesus healed the man that was lame at the pool, and the disciples asked him a question. They said, well, who was it that sinned, he or his parents? Who was it that sinned? And remember, the Lord Jesus told them later, well, neither one sinned, but this was done. He was in the position he was in for the glory of God. In other words, he had this physical problem, as it were, and people saw it for 40 years, but the reason that all took place is so that when Jesus healed him, they could really know Jesus had the power to heal, is to bring glory to God. And he said, that's why that guy was that way. But what that shows us is, anybody that was sick, people thought automatically had sinned, or it was a result of some sin of someone else. And so if you were ill and were lame or whatever it might be, everybody looked at you as though you had done something horribly or your family had, and so you were cast down, as it were. You were looked down upon, and people maybe wouldn't give you the time of day. Well, even a step lower than that would be the leper, and we're going to see that in this next passage. Again, a picture of the compassion of the Lord Jesus reaching out to people, you know, it should show us that no one here today is beyond God's mercy and God's love. God can meet through hope every need that's here today. I love it when I'm counseling with folks because there's one thing we can always give, and that's hope. There's one thing we can always give, and that's hope. Because if God's in the situation, there's always hope. And that doesn't just mean that just because you have an illness, God's going to heal you. But what it does mean is God will, if he doesn't heal you, he'll bring the grace into your life to help you deal with the situation that you're going through. Because sometimes he's not glorified in healing everybody. Did you know that? There are many times where God uses the death of someone and even the illness of someone to bring about a spiritual work in somebody else's life. He's dealing with other people and other situations, and he'll be glorified through it. What's really neat is when a person comes to a place in their life where they say, Lord, however this ends, I want you to be glorified. That's what I desire most. Not, Lord, if you don't heal me, I'm going to be ticked off, or if you don't fix this situation, I'm not going to be happy. But, Lord, I want you to be glorified so that everybody sees you in me and sees mostly you through this whole circumstance. And so it can be in every area of our lives, young people, adults, all of us. That should be our desire in our life, and not to get the glory ourselves, but for God to get the glory. Well, now here we come to this passage, and we're in verse 40 at the end of the chapter. And he says, now a leper came to him, imploring him. Imploring him. Now, if you understand basically what that is, what other hope did the leper have? I mean, can you imagine? This was it. This was it. In other words, if Jesus couldn't help him, I mean, that was the end of his life. He'd already been on Facebook. I'm all about Facebook right now. I detest some of the Facebook stuff, you know. Well, I've got a headache. I'm going to go lay down now. I just got up. One of my kids, his nose is running. You know, and it's kind of like unfollow real quick. No, I don't unfollow any. Well, I can't. Anyway. But you can see this guy on Facebook lost the tip of my ear today. My nose is starting to go away. The end of my nose is disintegrating. My fingers are turning into nubs. I've just got a few nubs left here. Pictures following. You stop and realize what horrible situation these people go through because their body just begins to disintegrate, fall apart. Fingers are slowly deteriorating, going away. Facial pictures, some of you have seen people from other countries, maybe some of the pictures, but the face is totally distorted, part of it eaten away due to leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It still is in some places. Horrible disease. Destroyed the body. Also, the second part of it that was so tragic is that leprosy made it impossible for you to spend any kind of time with your family whatsoever. And so you were put outside the city even. You weren't even allowed to be in the city. There was a special leper colony, a place where lepers all together sat and were in misery together. But can you imagine no more being able to be with your wife and tell her you love her, no more being with your kids and telling how much you love them, because leprosy was so contagious, even if you touched someone immediately, they were defiled, and even the Old Testament had special provisions put in place for them to understand how being defiled, they weren't allowed to touch anybody or be around anybody until a priest watched them for so many days to make sure they didn't also break out with leprosy. But it was so contagious, you would just instantly almost break out with leprosy. And it was one of those things that hit you in that fashion. Well, here this man comes. He's imploring the Lord Jesus. In other words, this was life and death to him. This was last moment hope to him. There was no other place he could go. This was it. He was at the very bottom. And so it says he came to him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Two things in this statement you'll notice. First of all, if you are willing. That's speaking to the compassion of the Lord Jesus. It's speaking to the desire of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he's saying, I know if you desire to, if it's in your heart, if it's in your will to heal me, he had total 100% faith, you can heal me. I know you can. It's just, do you want to? And he's, of course, doing it in a way where he's showing respect to the Lord, and he's showing complete, you couldn't pray a stronger prayer than what this man's praying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And of course, the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. In other words, he looked at him. He saw the horrific shape he was in. He saw the damage that the leprosy was doing. He knew what his end was. He knew that it was going to be physical death in his life, and it was going to be a horrible physical death. He knew the heartache he was going through because he couldn't see his family. He couldn't be close to those that loved him. He couldn't have any part in that. Here he is in filthy clothes because he couldn't be where clothes are cleaned. His sores are oozing. I mean, it's just, you can't imagine a more despicable situation, more despicable person. And nobody can touch him, so he hasn't been hugged or touched in a long period of time as he's gone through this. And yet we see the Lord Jesus as he's moved with compassion. And what's he do? He stretches out his hand and touches him. Okay, first of all, this is the first time this man's been touched in how long? It's the first time anybody's even reached out to him for fear. Second of all, we realize the power of the Lord Jesus and the fact that he was truly the Son of God and the fact that he could touch him without worrying about being defiled himself. He didn't have to worry about getting the leprosy, as it were. But he showed him love. He showed him compassion. He reached out to him even though he was the lowliest of the lowliest. And that should show us something about our hearts and desires for those who are down and out sometimes. Now, there are those that I know that we kind of get upset because we feel like they're not trying to help themselves. But if it's not for them, think of their children and their families. They sometimes have no hope and they have no ability to do anything different. It's not within their power to do anything different. And we need to have compassion for them. We need to be concerned for them and realize that they need the only hope that we have. And so he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I am willing. I love that, don't you? I am willing and be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed. In other words, I desire to see you healed. I see your faith in the fact that you believe that I can do this, even leprosy. So far, we haven't seen something of that great of nature. To heal the withered hand, that was an amazing thing. And there's no way that could have been duplicated by a magician or anybody. Somebody could have faked it and done something. But here, there's no way this could have been faked. There was nothing different. This was absolutely somebody that was dying and had no hope and was being destroyed physically, emotionally, in every other way. And the Lord Jesus is caring for him, reaches out and he says, be cleansed. Be cleansed. And what do you think happened in that instant? What do you think happened in that instant? Next verse tells you exactly what happened in that instant. The Bible says, as soon as he had spoken, what? Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So in other words, here's this individual having these sores, we don't know what to what point he was at, but obviously the leprosy was doing a work on his body and it could be noticed that it was. But the Bible gives us this picture. It was gone. So that means everything that had been eaten away, everything that had been destroyed was restored. He was brought back to full health. Here he is, the picture of misery. And all at once, he's the picture of health. He's the picture of being completely healed. And as you look at it, it says in verse 43, he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go away your way first and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What he was doing here is fulfilling the Old Testament law. The Old Testament had exact guidelines for someone who had leprosy and was healed. They had to go to the priest and show themselves in order to be cleansed, just like the one who maybe came in contact with somebody who had leprosy and be proved that there was no leprosy on them or that they didn't have any sores, or the Bible refers to it in different ways. But they had to prove that to others who were around. And so that's what the Lord told him: go and show yourself, and then you can be declared by the priest to be clean. Well, obviously, this guy looked down, and possibly the nubs that were there were no longer nubs, so he knew he was clean. And he still needed to do that as an act of obedience to the law. But in the midst of that, the Lord Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Now, why do you think that was? Why do you think that was? What would everybody be coming for the instant they heard this? Okay, you'd have every leper in town coming, as well as all the other sick people. Again, the Lord Jesus, was he doing this to get an audience? Thank you. Good. Was he doing it to prove that he was the Son of God? Yes. Okay, that's what the Scripture tells us. Everything he did as a proof that he was the Son of God. And that was his desire, so that other folks would know that he truly was from God and he'd come to save men. And so we see that. Well, what happens? Instead, again, Facebook, Instagram, immediately, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. And now what happened? Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. And so you see, as this man went out and began to proclaim to all the other people, now Jesus couldn't move in and around the city. The throngs were so great. Everybody was pushing, and sometimes you think of a stampede coming out of a stadium, you know, where we hear about people being crushed and that kind of thing. I mean, when you have a bunch of people that are ill, and most of them very severely ill with no hope whatsoever, and they know their only hope is coming to Jesus, how hard do you think they would be pushing to get close to him? How much would they desire to get close to him? And so that's what we end up seeing, is this group of people moving in this way, working in that way, to where the pressures were so great around them. Now, as we look at this, we can stop and just for a moment realize leprosy is a perfect illustration of sin. As we stop and think of sin, we think of several different areas in this regard. It helps us understand sin, first of all, is deeper than the skin. And if you look back with me to Leviticus chapter 13, if you can, turn your Bibles back there and to the book of Leviticus, because this is where, of course, it deals with the priests and it helps them understand what to do. But in Leviticus chapter 13, and we're going to look first of all at verse 3. We see here, as it's listed, it says, the priest shall examine the sore of the skin on the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. So first of all, we find that sin is deeper than the skin. Sin covers our whole bodies. And we think of leprosy as it spreads. Leprosy is a small thing to start with. You see in verse 7, as it says, but if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. In other words, so not only is the sore deeper than the skin, it's not just an outside issue, it's a heart issue. It's something that has to do with the whole body. Sin covers the whole body. Sin can start out as a little thing, but it begins to then what? Spread. And it begins to infiltrate the whole body. Sometimes people have sin in one little area, but it opens the door before long. It begins to spread and it works into all kinds of areas of their lives, where all of a sudden they who were once a great testimony for the Lord, or who were so excited about Christ, now all of a sudden are a testimony for Satan in their life, because their actions, their attitudes, the words that come out of their mouth, everything. Sin has totally infiltrated their entire body, their entire life, as it were. And so in the same way, the scab would spread, and that's the way leprosy works. Also, we find it defiles and isolates. As you look at verse 45 and 46 of chapter 13, it tells us, and the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And so again, sin, sometimes you'll see people, I don't want to go to youth group, or I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be around other Christian people. And then they'll come up with all kinds of stories about other Christian people, why they don't want to be around those other Christian people. And eventually, they find themselves kind of isolated by themselves. They're constantly looking over their shoulder to see who's watching them, or the idea of looking at them, because they sense this feeling of guilt that's within them. And everything around them just seems like it's falling apart, and they feel like they're, again, isolated. And it's the same situation, of course, with the leper, as they were isolated, as they were set apart. And then we find also that it's fit only for the fire. As you look for verse 52, it says, "He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen or in anything of leather, for it is an act of leprosy. The garment shall be burned with fire." And then in verse 57, "But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp or the woof or anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn it with fire in that plague." And the ultimate result of sin, sadly, is death, but not just death, but spiritual death, isn't it? And we find that personally, eternally separated from God and having to spend eternity away from Him because of sin and because of the wickedness of sin. And so as you look at leprosy, you think of sin. If we really would get in our minds that picture of the ugliness of leprosy and realize that's how ugly sin is in my life, that's the way God sees sin in my life, as leprosy. He sees it evil. He sees it wicked. Then we'd realize why it's so important that we keep our hearts clear and right. Every day we have the opportunity to agree with God about our sin. That means whether you're a Christian or whether you're lost. If you're lost, you first agree with God, "My sin's horrible. I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." If you're saved, then you need to realize, as you have sins in your life, you have the opportunity daily to confess those sins. What does it mean? What's it mean? I agree with God that this is wrong. It shouldn't be there. And you know what's nice? If on a daily basis, as people bring to mind things to you that, or as you think of different things that are in your life that shouldn't be there, you have the opportunity right along the way to confess those sins. And then as you confess them, immediately be forgiven. And you're walking constantly in a right relationship with God. You have that hope on a daily basis of knowing right then the Lord's with you. You're happy with everybody else around you. Why? You don't have anybody you need to ask forgiveness of. You don't have anything you need to be cleansed of. You're purified. You're made pure. You're made righteous. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just what? To forgive us our sin. You don't feel isolated. Instead, all these folks here today, they're your Christian brothers and sisters. You can walk together with them. You can encourage them. They can encourage you. You can find hope in the Lord, and you can find the joy that God intends for you to have. You know, God wants us to have joy. It doesn't mean we're always going to be happy, because all of us face difficulties. But you can always have joy, and that means that you know God's in control of your life, and you have the opportunity to encourage others as they have an opportunity to encourage you. There's always hope. I love hope. There's always hope. This man found hope in Jesus. He found that he could be freed. I hope today that each one of you are also free. Whether you're lost, haven't trusted Christ yet, or whether you're saved, I hope you're free in the fact that you're able to walk with the Lord. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness. I thank you for each one here today, again this afternoon. And Lord, what a joy it is to fellowship together. But again, as we see this brief picture of sin, we see the destruction upon this man's life. We see the deliverance for this man and how he was delivered. It's a picture of sin in our lives. And I pray that we would find that hope and that deliverance. What a joy to walk every day completely free. I don't have to be concerned that I've upset my parents. I don't have to be concerned that I've upset somebody in authority over me, whether it's at school or someplace else, because I know I've confessed my sin. I've made things right with everybody. I can be a clear witness to those around me. I can be a testimony. I can bring glory to your name. Maybe there's one here today that hasn't trusted you. Lord, I pray that even right now you would help them see how ugly sin is, just like leprosy, and it will destroy them and eventually be cast into the fire, even as the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation. But Lord, we wouldn't want anybody to go through that. I pray that everyone here to know would know for sure today they're saved. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you just say today, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I were to die right now, I'd spend eternity with Him. I wish somebody would take the Bible and just show me for sure how I can be saved." If that's your prayer this morning, while we're before or this afternoon before we're dismissed, would you just lift your hand? We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. Want to help you. Anyone? Maybe some of the others of you, as you think of sin and realize there's some areas somebody you need to talk to, somebody you need to ask forgiveness of, somebody you've done something against, you need to ask their forgiveness as well as asking the Lord's forgiveness. Don't wait till tomorrow or wait till some other time. Get it done right away and then walk in that freedom. Just like this man was cleansed and he couldn't wait to tell people, you can be cleansed and be free. I pray that that's the case for you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for this afternoon service, and thank you for these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.